fraud is getting smarter and smarter. And that's why we have to keep evolving and talking to our clients, seeing what kind of trends they're seeing. But then also, you know, we're going on the dark web. We have our own honeypots that we put out there, which are basically just baits and traps out there to catch fraudsters in real time. And we don't really have any competitors doing that. And that just sets us apart. So
we're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smart Destiny podcast. So this time we're joined by the legend that is Dennis Weiss. Dennis is the founder and CEO of IP Quality Score, which is a SaaS that protects your website, your web presence from bots, fraudulent traffic, and the other bad stuff that is coming in to ruin your day. The stuff that comes in and results in chargebacks, the stuff that comes in that results in fraud, the stuff that comes in that you're paying for potentially from your adverts that is never going to convert because it's bot. And I've got a stat for you on that front. 40 to 60% of traffic, according to Dennis, this is caveat if Google's listening, but 40 to 60% of Google or Bing traffic is bot traffic. And Dennis is going to tell us how we can block that from our websites, as well as the super nasty stuff and how they go about doing it. But Dennis is a serial entrepreneur. The business that we're going to be talking about today is an eight-figure business, but he also has coffee shops and distilleries. And I mean, he's done a lot of stuff and he's continuing to do a lot of stuff. And because he's doing so much stuff, it's important to have the right team. And Dennis's superpower is all around hiring, an eye for catching the right people and getting them to come to your company, to strengthen your company so that you as the CEO and founder can kind of, you know, be the puppet master a little bit and also, you know, not keel over from exhaustion. So without further ado, we're going to get into this. It's going to be an amazing episode. So without further ado, let's welcome Dennis to the stage. Dennis, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you for the invitation here. I'm excited to get to talking here.
Absolutely. I'm stoked for this. So first off, so the audience knows, whereabouts in the world are you right now, Dennis?
So I'm currently in Metro Detroit, Michigan. So right outside of Detroit. It's a fun little area being renovated and having a lot of fun here.
Beautiful. Okay. So the way we like to kick things off, I mentioned this to you a little bit off air, but what we like to do is we like to go back. We like to understand kind of where you came from, where you first started putting those entrepreneurial building blocks together like Lego, you know, where it all started for you and the story that surrounds that. So if you've got a story in mind, could you take us back to that and tell us where did Dennis Jr. come from?
Yeah, great question. So my parents are both immigrants from Europe. So, you know, they came to America with literally $46 in their pocket. So always saw them working hard, trying to make more money and having a great life. So, you know, for me, it started young. I started cutting lawns, shoveling snow, trying to always make money so I could always have money. So from there, I mean, I wanted to own my own business and all that. So I actually went to dental school. And, you know, it was a lot of work. And I started thinking like, hey, how can I make money while I'm going to school? Because it's a lot of time studying. So I got into the internet world. So I started learning about advertisements and all that kind of stuff. Started my own affiliate network, did about $50 million in revenue with just me and my business partner. It was a lot of stress, a lot of work, but it taught me a lot. It taught me how to catch fraud, deal with fraud, prevent fraud, and keep an eye out for fraud. I was really gung-ho, just like working late nights, and so was my business partner. So we had a really small team. It was just the two of us for most of the time, but we would contract some other workers. So to get to the point where I am now with multiple businesses, it was definitely having an eye to hire people. So now, you know, the only way I could run all these businesses is to have good staff and good teammates that I can work with. So that is the key to all of this. But having that early knack to make money, that definitely pushed me forward.
Beautiful. So how many people have you got working under you right now?
So we still keep the mentality of having a lean team. So at the coffee shop and the distillery, we have around 20 employees. But at IPQS, there's only 14 of us that, you know, a very lean team, but 14 of us all focus on our work and it works really well. And having a SaaS that's, you know, as popular as IPQS for anti-fraud right now, it's really important that each of us know everything about our clients. So, you know, if you go to another company and you ask a question, you might be in a support ticket line for, I don't know, 2-3 days before you get a canned response back. We try to respond within 12 hours of any support ticket. I personally, as a CEO, will get on support tickets. I'll get on sales call. And I think that's really important to know, you know, about our clients and know how to catch fraud because they're telling us new threats that are emerging. So I don't think that happens in other companies. So that's kind of my answer there.
So I think we need to get into that in a little while. I want to understand some sort of specific examples of like evolving fraud and like cutting edge fraud that you're blocking because it's not a one size fits all. It's not like I've got my fraud prevention and now I don't need to evolve at all because the fraud will always be the same. The fraud and what is happening is changing and the threats are evolving. But before we do that, I mean, so you mentioned the affiliate days. What brought you into specifically creating a SaaS around fraud and whereabouts was this in terms of what whereabouts on your timeline? How long ago was this sort of thought process and idea happening?
Yeah, so started that company 12 years ago and like 2-3 years into it, I mean, we were getting payouts that were getting revoked because there was just too much fraud traffic in there and it was just a mess. So internally, we built what IPQS is today, basically, you know, checking IP addresses, looking at email addresses, phone numbers, making sure all that lead gen data is legit. And internally there, our advertisers started asking like, hey, you know, how is your traffic quality so good? What are you guys using? And we're like, well, we built our own internal tools. They started asking, hey, can we lease this? Can we use your tools? And that's kind of how it turned into its own SaaS because, you know, our traffic on the affiliate network started to be so good that our advertisers wanted it. And we started focusing on advertisers and then and then after the advertisers came, like financial institution, e-commerce, cryptocurrency exchanges use us. So social media uses us. It's kind of every niche is what we can help now. And it kind of just sprawled from the advertising space.
Love that. Okay. So a lot of our listeners today are in the e-commerce space. We've got a lot of listeners from the e-commerce space. So could you tell us a typical sort of case study, maybe a case study for an e-commerce brand who's using IPQS to protect themselves, but more importantly, what happened before they switched to using you? That, you know, what was the pain that had happened that resulted in them going, we need to solve this?
Yeah, specifically in e-commerce, just chargeback prevention, friendly fraud. We collect all of that kind of data so we can actually help you prevent that before it happens. A lot of tools out there that our clients come from are, you know, guaranteeing after the fact. But, you know, you don't want to deal with a chargeback. You don't want to deal with friendly fraud. You don't want to deal with a fake credit card. Like we're monitoring that kind of information before it takes place. So as the user is entering that information, we're looking at all of that from first name, last name, phone number, addresses, credit card information. We're looking at all of that and giving you a fraud score in real time. So based on that fraud score, you can redirect that user. You can block that user. You can have someone call and check up on that transaction. We're giving you all of the tools so you can make decisions in real time. And you can't be, you know, running your e-commerce 24/7. You need to sleep, you need to eat. And a tool like IPQS lets you do all of that and let us do all the work in the background 24/7. So it's a really cool tool to use. So
now in the introduction, we talked about a stat that you gave me off air that 40 to 60% of Google or Bing traffic is bots. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so we all know what a proxy and a VPN is. You know, someone's masking their IP address and they're trying to, you know, hide what they're doing or who they are. And, you know, not all of those users are fraudulent. They're just trying to be anonymous online. But what we found out early, and this is like 9 years ago, we discovered something called residential proxies. So basically what a residential proxy was back then is your computer or your phone was hacked and someone installed malware on it. Then they were using your device. Nowadays, there's companies out there that will let you sell your IP address bandwidth and they'll pay you and then they'll let other people use it. But what we're seeing is these residential proxies look clean. So they're coming from like a Comcast connection or a Time Warner or something that you would never suspect is being fraud. And we would take this information and talk to Google and we talk to big brands and they'd be like, yeah, we're getting all these fraud, but everything here looks legit. And then that's when we saw, you know, residential proxies are not a good news. So, you know, usually fraudsters are using those to mask their identity. And that's where a lot of fraud is happening. So it's crazy. Even today, you know, I get on a sales call and I'll mention, hey, do you know what a residential proxy is? And some of the biggest companies in the world are like, no, never heard of that. But then we look at their traffic and see what's happening. And most of their fraud, like 90%, is coming from a residential proxy. So that's, you know, fraud is getting smarter and smarter. And that's why we have to keep evolving and talking to our clients, seeing what kind of trends they're seeing. But then also, you know, we're going on the dark web. We have our own honeypots that we put out there, which are basically just baits and traps out there to catch fraudsters in real time. And we don't really have any competitors doing that. And that just sets us apart. So why
are fraudsters hitting e-commerce businesses? What are the kind of categories of fraud that you're seeing?
So fraudsters hit e-commerce because it's easy. I mean, leaked data is all over the internet. It's really easy to go and find a phone number or a credit card number on the dark web. And it's just an easy target. I mean, there's new e-commerce stores popping up every day, which don't have security measures in place that could really easily stop fraud. So they're really easy targets. You know, mom and pop shop opens up a new screen printing store and they have, you know, shirts for sale. It's really easy to target them because they don't know what to look out for. And, you know, fraud is just always evolving. So there's always new trends out. Recently, we discovered So I talked about residential proxies. Now they're shipping proxies. So what a fraudster will do is use a fake credit card and ship it to someone's house. And they'll switch the return addresses and then it'll get sent to them. Another elaboration on that is someone will say, hey, you know, I'm going to ship a product to you, open it up, test it out for me, and we'll pay you to review it. And then you ship the product back. So there's a lot of different ways that, you know, fraud is evolving and coming out. And I mean, this conversation could go on for days, to be honest, but there's just always new stuff coming out. And, you know, e-commerce is an easy target just because there's so many new stores popping up and it's really easy to, you know, fraud those at first. So,
yeah, I guess what I was delving into is like, is it a malicious thing? People are trying to take your store down. Is it that they want to get your products for free? You know, is it something else? You know, all of the above, you know,
like it's kind of all of the above. Yeah. So definitely all of the above, easy targets, and then getting stuff for free. Friendly fraud, if you're familiar with that, is basically someone that actually is legit and buys the product. But then later they pull a chargeback with their credit card company and say, oh, I didn't buy that, or I didn't actually expect this product. And that's kind of data that we track. So we're looking at what IP addresses do a lot of friendly fraud, a lot of credit card users that would use friendly fraud. And just knowing that information helps our, you know, e-commerce customers know to keep an eye out for this customer or something like that. So
interesting. So when we going back to the Google advertising traffic, so I've gone onto Google and I've paid for ads, and the traffic that coming in, there's a certain percentage of that traffic coming into my store that I've paid for those clicks, and that's bot traffic. Now, I mean, first off, how does that happen? And second of all, what can I do to improve not just the quality of that traffic, but actually kind of alert the advertiser to, like, hang on, I'm paying for a bunch of bot clicks here?
Yeah. So our tools will actually capture all that data. So it's really easy to, you know, print out a report and then send that report over to them and be like, hey, this was residential proxies. These were bots. These were VPNs. These were proxies. Whatever, you know, metric you're looking at, we're able to give you that data in real time, and then you can just send it in. And there's another part to that.
Go on. Sorry.
Sorry, there was another part that you wanted me to answer and I missed that.
Yeah, it's like, how does bot traffic happen? Like, when it's coming from like ad networks who
yeah, so better. Yeah, so media buyers are buying all this traffic, but like the companies that get the traffic, they're getting it from a whole host of different, you know, vendors and whatnot. Some is remnant traffic here, some is clicks from an advertisement over there. So they don't really have time to track all that. And nor do they really care, because in the end, you know, if they're sending you a million clicks, you know, they can't look at all that. And to them, it's a million clicks. But for you, I mean, you're seeing that you're not making money off these advertisements. You're not making money off these clicks, or the what's happening from the user coming to you is not like a real user. So what's happening is we're seeing like all of this traffic come in too fast to look at. So that's why they do it. And they don't really care, because you're paying for it anyways. Now our tool or tools like us will help you like fight back with that. And then you can send it as a report and be like, hey, these sources were no good. Like, don't send me those kinds of resources or give me a refund. But again, to answer that, I guess simplified, they get so much traffic that they can't really filter it, and nor do they really want to filter it, because they're making money off it regardless.
And are you seeing something similar from Facebook traffic?
We see it on all traffic engines, traffic sources. Like, we see it everywhere. And that's why tools like these will really help you. So,
And just for clarity, have you got clients that are using those reports to outright get refunds?
Yeah, I've done it myself.
Amazing. So that's what we're talking about. Right. I mean, this is incredible. IPqualityscore.com is where to go and check it out, folks. The next bit, I want to tap into your superpower, Dennis. So you've got a bunch of businesses, and if my maths is right, I mean, you have at least 40 odd employees. I think you said if it was 20 on both of the original businesses and 14 on the SaaS, right? There's a lot of people. It's a lot of mouths to feed. And you said that your superpower, or at least one of your superpowers, is that eye for hiring the right people. Could you talk to us a little bit about that? What mistakes other people make, how to avoid them, you know, just that whole space of hiring the best people for your business.
Yeah, first and foremost, never be scared to reach out to the top person. I mean, if you think that person is out of reach, don't be afraid to reach out to them and ask them if they're interested in, you know, taking an interview or chatting. I mean, for the distillery, I know how to make a good cocktail. I know what kind of spirits I like. But, you know, I didn't know how to be a bartender 24/7 or, you know, doing late nights and stuff like that. So I literally went out to the best bars and I just asked, hey, I don't want to steal any employees, but, you know, this is what the brand that we're building over here. If there's any interest, would love, you know, someone to come and consult. And from there, you know, you kind of give them a trial. And if they want to do it, you ask them, hey, what would be fair for you to make? Make sure they're getting paid for their time, and make sure that, you know, you're not trying to save money on them. Because if you find an employee that works hard and can do all the things that you don't know, you're collectively going to make more money because of that. Now, if you're just hiring people on the cheap, or you're not paying them what they're worth, I mean, that's never going to work out in the long run. So make sure you always ask that employee, hey, what do you want to make? What do you want to get out of that? And kind of be, you know, open to their feelings and their needs, because if they're happy growing your business is going to grow. And that's kind of really important. Always put people on trials. Make sure, you know, if your gut is telling you, hey, this isn't working out, but you keep trying to give them a second chance, long-term wise, that's probably not going to work out. So always follow your gut and always be opening to, you know, networking, talking to more people, consulting with people. So, and always be honest with what you don't know. So if you don't know something, that's not an embarrassment to you. I mean, you're just going to learn from other people more and how to get better at things. So never act like you're a jack of all trades. So
on the digital business specifically, so on your SaaS and on other sort of digital businesses like type thing, as opposed to sort of hiring a man on the ground, a cocktail expert and so on. So on the digital side, where are your go-to sources for finding that top talent? And so you can have that initial sort of conversation, that initial kind of, you know, do you want to work for me?
Yeah, so I want to not talk badly about recruiters. I think they can find you amazing talent. But I feel like you have to have a one-on-one or find the talent that you think is a perfect fit. So that's one way. I mean, programmer-wise, like I've worked with maybe 1,000 programmers, and to this day, I only have 14 employees at my tech company. But you know, I've tried them, giving them tests, seeing what they want long terms. It's really just having that gut feeling, I guess, too, is just, you know, if it feels right, it will be right. You just got to do a trial as well. So.
And where are you finding them? Like the
Yeah. So you did ask that. So Upwork, I like to go on and find some people. Looking at reviews there is good, but I like to go on Reddit and just find people that, you know, are looking for something part-time that can grow, you know, into a full-time job. I like to work with contractors, and it always goes back to, you know, giving them a trial first and making something small and then going from there and like keep working together. But, you know, just talking on forums and blogs and stuff, like that's a really good spot to find these people.
Wow. I hadn't heard of Reddit as a suggestion for a recruiting pool. There we go. We're learning all kinds of gold stuff. And so with the contractors, are you then, if they are a great fit and they're doing a really good job, are you then trying to actually employ them, or are you just keeping them as contractors, but they're pretty much like full-time contractors?
You know, long-term definitely turn into an employee. But kind of interesting story on Reddit. I mean, I've met people that self-learn how to program, smartest people in the room. I've also met people that work for the NSA. And they, you know, Edward Snowden by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah. So our guys used to work with him in the same office. So like, wow. We have top level guys that I've been able to find through like Reddit and forums and blogs. And it's just like, you know, in a digital world, you don't really see people face to face. So you don't know who they are, what their background is. But, you know, when we hired some of our first team, you know, 3-letter agencies would reach out and ask us, hey, why did you hire these people? Why did you pay them a bonus? And it's just, that's just solidifies that we got the right talent, you know? So
you didn't know necessarily that they'd moved from, say, their position at the NSA, but then when the NSA heard about it, they're asking you how you got them.
Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. And it's a scary, but also a pretty amazing story that I'd love to share with you one day.
I look forward to it. So is there anything else that I should be asking you about bot traffic, for traffic, and what IP quality score does?
Yeah. I mean, I think a good thing to know is, you know, a lot of these the companies that I think you mentioned earlier, a lot of them focus on one thing. So they'll focus on, you know, advertising clicks, and some of them will focus on residential proxies, or some of them will focus on phone validation, or some will just focus on like email validation. Now, I hate when people are just a jack of all trade, but in this case, to fight fraud, you have to be a jack of all trades. So the way I think of all those other companies is a top layer of an onion. So that's all they're getting. But at IPQS, since we do have email validation, phone validation, device fingerprinting, IP proxy reputation, fraud scoring, we're basically taking an onion, cutting it in half, and having all of the layers. And then basically, since we have all these layers, you know, our email reputation is stronger, our IP reputation is stronger, because we can look at IP data and see how it crosses over to email data or phone data or address data. Like, we have all of the layers so that, you know, we give you the best and most accurate fraud score.
Beautiful. And what about people who are concerned that they're losing a genuine sale with sort of oversensitive filters? What would you say to them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we're actually one of the only companies that you can modify those filters. So if you're noticing a fraud ring coming in, and a lot of them are using proxies, you can turn those filters up. If you're noticing that you have a lot of international buyers, or, you know, some people from specific states, you can modify those filters. You have full control with our tools. And I think that really sets us apart as well, because you can turn stuff up or down. Right out of the gate, most of our clients don't touch any of the filters, but there are some challenging customers that need those filters modified, and they can do that in real time. You know, the most revealing thing about my company is I was at a conference in Vegas a month ago, and someone came up and they said, hey, I use your free version of IPQS. And I was like, that's awesome. What do you do? And they say, oh, we do e-commerce. Our chargeback rate was like 33%. And our free version got them to lower than 5%. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Keep using that free version. Now, if you want to get down to 1% or 2%, that's probably when we look at an upgraded plan, because there are more filters, more botnets that we put in there, and emerging fraud trends and data that isn't in the free plan. But you know, I see a lot of big companies because we do track who uses our free plan, and we can see like the ISP data. We're seeing like a huge amount of Fortune 10 companies, Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 500s that use our data just on our free plan. And, you know, a lot of companies would be like, oh, we need to restrict the free plan and stop that. But, you know, we're learning from that data. It helps our paid customers get even more benefit from that too. So
I love that. All right. So ipqualityscore.com is where to go to check this out, folks. So Dennis, at this point in the show, we like to mix it up. We go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can choose the speed in which you respond. Are you up for that?
Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. Normally I would say, are you two thumbs up for that? But without the video showing today, I'm just going to assume you've got them both up there. And
they're in the sky. I'm ready to go.
Awesome. All right. Question one. If you ever had to start again, how would you make your money?
I would also go on the internet. The internet is the best place. There's money globally available to you that you can make money from. So anything online.
What comes to mind? What springs to mind is like the thing online that you would probably do?
Yeah, honestly, advertising. I think advertising is the easiest way. Even if it's your product that you're advertising or advertising for someone else, it's very easy to buy media using tools like IPQS or ClickSense and all of those. Like those can help you get better quality traffic. And I think, you know, advertising is the best place to be still online. Advertising for yourself or someone else's product, whatever it be.
Nice. What's the most common or biggest mistake leaders make?
Trying to do too much. You're going to burn out if you do too much. You're not going to be the best person for your customers if you're doing too much. Rely on your teammates and rely on your team's answers because, you know, even if you think you could sell something better or answer something better, a teammate might have that answer. So
beautiful. So who is a great leader? Who comes to mind as a great leader, whether alive or dead, and why?
Anyone that wants to grind is a good leader. If you have that mentality grind, you can be a good leader. A specific person, I have no idea. I have this quote that I like to say is, it's actually my quote, is don't read books, write the books. You can learn a lot from reading other people's books, but once you are in that cockpit and you're the driver of the experience that's about to happen, that's where you're going to learn everything. So I always say, don't read the books, write the books. But again, there is good information you can learn from books, but be your own driver. Like, just get out there and do it, and you will be a great leader. If others see you leading, I mean, they're going to want to be better as well.
Beautiful. How do you, and we touched upon this, but I think it's worth delving in as your superpower. How do you hire top talent?
Yeah, going out there and just asking people their takes, networking, going on Reddit, going on Upwork, and just trying different people. Now, you don't have to get locked in and thinking, hey, if I hire this person, this is going to cost me 100 grand this year. I can't afford that. No, you're dividing that by 12. You know, you're going to pay for 1 month, see how it goes. And then if they're a good employee, you're going to know in the first 30 days. So that's my advice there.
And then the assumption is, even if it is 100 grand, because they're good at what they do, they're going to make you more than what you're paying them.
So 100%. Yep. 100%.
Brilliant. What is one of your proudest moments?
One of my proudest moments is building a company that did 50 million in revenue, working out of my home office, and not meeting that business partner until 2 years after we started the company. And it was a handshake agreement. And I live by that today. Like, when I go and do something, it's always a handshake agreement. If I get burned in the end, it's a learning experience for me, but I won't make that mistake again. So
that was an affiliate network, if I remember rightly. What was the name of it?
That was AdWork Media.
AdWork Media. Nice. What's one interesting fact about you that not many people would know?
Let's see. I don't know. I don't really know.
Fair enough.
I can speak Slovakian. How about that?
There you go. Not many people would know that. Slovakian. What's I'm having a great time on your podcast in Slovakian?
Ja mám veľmi dobrý čas na tvoj podcast.
Nice. I like that. And you really can. What daily routines do you have, whether morning or evening, that have helped make you successful?
I definitely like to wake up, eat my eggs with onions, and then get to working. I mean, that makes me successful, I guess, is just grinding. But always making sure that you can spend time with family is super important too. Trying to balance all of that is definitely the key to life.
You said eggs with onions. That's a combination that I'm not as familiar with as a breakfast meal. How are the onions? What are they? Are they like fried, boiled, sauteed?
Yeah. So I have a technique now. So I'll take a white onion. I'll cut it up. I'll throw it in the a pan on hot, and then I'll take ghee after 30 seconds, dump it on top. The butter will melt down and I'll get perfectly fried onions that way. And then I'll throw in two or three eggs and that's my breakfast.
Nice. So it's sort of like an onion omelet.
It's scrambled eggs with onions, I guess that's how I would call it. But yeah.
A broken up onion omelet.
There you go.
What book or books changed your mindset or life?
Ooh, we're getting back to my quote here. So I don't really read books. I don't read the books. I'm going to try to write the books. So I guess it's writing my own story is the book that would change my mindset. I mean, just grinding. There is one sales book that I read and I'm walking to get it. And it was people do buy me a lot of books. So hold on. I can't find it, but it was a sales book that I'll have to share with you later. I don't know what it was called, but it was very short, got it off Amazon. And I thought it was good because it just taught you how to keep grinding. So back to what I was saying earlier is grinding is super important. And that's kind of the kind of story or the book that I would read or want to keep going my mindset. So
I guess if you're not a book reader, but then my follow-up question would be, where do you learn from?
If I have a question, I'll Google it and then I'll try to find all the information I can based on that. So I guess my book would be Google.
Google. What's the most exciting question you spend your time thinking about?
What's the next big thing? How can I make my current products better? What's the new, in IPQS's case, what's the next emerging fraud that I can detect or find before anyone else?
What's a recent fraud? What's like a recent thing? So you mentioned about the mail forwarding and the domestic IPs or residential IPs? You
said? Residential IP is definitely still the biggest. The shipping thing is definitely something newer that we discovered. But yeah, residential proxy is the biggest fraud out there still.
What was your biggest challenge starting any of your businesses? You can come up with an example for one of your businesses, and how did you overcome it?
Finding a partner or a programmer that knew more than I did.
Was it NSA that you eventually found them, or was that?
That was later in life. So my business partner, David Mackler, I mean, he was a grinder. And when we were building tools for our affiliate network, like he spent all night one night and came up with a new tool that kind of revolutionized the whole industry there. It was called content locking back then. So, figuring that out, I wasn't able to figure that out. He figured that out. So, I had the idea for it and then he was able to actually program it. So just having a partner or a team that you can work together and just like figure it out.
Love that.
That's kind of the key there.
What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
Good question. I'm a big fan of kombucha.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think nootropics are interesting. I don't know if they really work, but I do drink a green drink that has it once in a while. And it definitely helps me feel like I am thinking more clearly. So.
Nice. Final question. What makes you happiest?
Providing for my family is really what makes me the most happy. So making sure that they're taken care of, we can do activities that we want from traveling or hanging out or, going, seeing a movie, just making sure we have, the assets to be able to do that. It makes me the most happiest to know that they're taken care of.
Amazing. That's a fantastic answer. And so that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. But at this point, I'd like to ask you, do you have any asks or requests of the audience listening today?
Yeah, I mean, tell me about any fraud that you've seen, especially in e-commerce. Send it my way. I'd love to learn more from everyone in the podcast. So,
how are you being scammed right now? Let Dennis know, and he will he'll find a honeypot or a trap to cease it, to stop it.
I'll set the bait and we'll make sure it doesn't happen to anyone else.
Beautiful. You should wear a cape, Dennis. Well, Dennis, this pretty much brings us to the end. It does bring us to the end of a fantastic podcast. I found it fascinating. I mean, delving into like the evolving scamming world and how to block it. I mean, who doesn't love a good horror story, right? And understanding a little bit more about that. But your background, your lean teams, how you hire them, Reddit as a bombshell drop of where to find people. It's been an absolutely fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today.
Yeah, thanks for your time and had a great time on here. And good luck to everyone out there and keep crushing it.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.